Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All righty, hour number 2 of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And now joining us is former NFL general manager here today on behalf of Sumer Sports, which we talk about a ton, and that is Thomas Dimitroff. Thomas, how you been?
I'm good. A lot of busy stuff going on, but we're doing well.
So I'm actually going to start you off with just the GM kind of reaction question to another sport. And we all saw this Luka Doncic trade where everyone was like, what the bleep just happened? When a trade like that happens, whether you were in the NFL or just observing sports, and you see a deal that goes down and you didn't expect it happening, and then you see what the return is, you go, that's not satisfactory. What are other general managers like?
I have a lot of friends in different businesses, right? Basketball, baseball, I mean, in the European League. And we have a lot of these discussions when some of these things go down, and I ask them point blank, how did this go down? What are their responses? In the end, there's a lot of sleepless nights before they make these deals, and everything is, you know, they're being judged on these big time moves, right? And I that's where my head goes on it. I always try to empathize with them.
Because it was like clear to me that Nico Harris of the Mavs GM, he made this move because they don't think Luka Doncic fits into their culture. And I go, man, all right, I understand you have a culture. And it's one thing if it's a third or fourth player on the roster that doesn't fit into your culture. But when the guy's your standard and he's a generational player, I think we figure out whatever his culture is and you build around that.
I think I would agree that that's where my head would go with it. Because that guy, I mean, have we seen that? And it's amazing to see that. I exactly understand what you're saying. And I agree with you 100%.
And the other part is when you have a player, because, right, this happens in the NFL all the time, where you go, okay, this player's not in the shape we want him to. What are those conversations like, even when it's with the star, to get them into better shape and to make them understand they need to do that?
I think you sit down and you have that very serious conversation with them, with the head coach and the general manager, and you really drill down on, here are our expectations, point blank. You make it as clear as possible. If that player is not buying in or they're not doing what they need to do, it does become complicated, and that's where it becomes really difficult for a GM to make a move like that, because that's going to be hanging over their head for a long time. That guy's going to go somewhere else, of course, and he's going to thrive wherever he is, and it's always going to be haunting. What did the trade end up being?
Parameters were Anthony Davis, who ended up going back to the Mavericks, who's a really good player, but he's 31. He's not 25. They got a first-round pick and some other pieces. Now, In the NFL, trading a first-round pick for someone is big. In the NBA, there's a lot of deals where there's five first-round picks traded for players.
It's a great point. Yeah. It's a great point. But I saw someone else recently talking about someone else. You'll get into it.
Yeah.
And the Browns asking for a trade. I mean, that's possibly two first rounds and a third, or who knows what that's going
to
be.
So you know where I went to? It wasn't where I first went to. Because when Thomas Dimitroff is here with us, when the news came out today that Myles Garrett wanted out, I wasn't surprised whatsoever. That makes sense. And obviously, you could talk about Buffalo. You could talk about Detroit, the Commanders, the Eagles. What about Kansas City? They're in the penthouse. They are a team right now that no one has the answer for them. We'll see what the Eagles do on Sunday. A first-round pick from Kansas City means nothing for Myles Garrett. What happens if you offer up George Karloftis?
Wow, that's a good GM thought.
Yeah.
I like that. No, I mean, I was not thinking Kansas City at all. But when you talk, because I've been really pushing on the Detroit thing because I really thought Max Crosby should have gone there for other reasons too. That didn't obviously happen. I think they could really benefit. You know, just stand on Detroit for a half a second. The idea of where they're going to go, losing their coordinators, losing people. This is going to be an important year for them to build properly. So I thought that was the right spot. But when you start talking about Kansas City, I don't know. Am I missing? I don't know if I'm feeling Brett Veach in that move, though.
Fair.
I'm feeling Zach Gelb in that move, but I don't know if I'm feeling
Brett
Veach.
Well, here's the thing. And you used to work for the Patriots, and I'm a Patriot fan. For 20 years, right, they were in the penthouse. So they don't need him. They could still win a Super Bowl without him. But you at least got to make that phone call. And maybe they say, okay, we don't want to pay Myles Garrett. We got a young player in George Karloftis that down the road we'd rather allocate those dollars to him. But teams like the Eagles and the Chiefs, good GMs, they call everyone, right?
Good GMs call everyone. They're always inquiring to see if they can do something. And I know Howie Roseman well, and back in the day we used to joke all the time. He'd ask me for a second round. I think I might have mentioned this. Everything we ever dealt with, it could have been the back end of the roster you wanted a second round. Good to him, right? Because that's what he did, and that's why he's the best in what he's doing right now.
Are there some GMs, right, Howie has that reputation, where when they call you go, even if I like their deal, what am I missing here? I would be skeptical to make a move with Howie Roseman.
I think I never was in that spot because he and I were peers through the whole thing. I guarantee some of the young guys are on the edge of their seat when he calls. It's like my first trade ever was trading D'Angelo Hall, believe it or not, to the Raiders when Al Davis called me. And he gets on the phone with me, and I'm thinking, I'm talking to Al Davis. He's going to run roughshod over me. That was the first deal I ever made. We did the deal for him. He calls me back in 2 weeks, and he said, I want my damn pick back. And I thought, oh, my God. And he was joking with me, of course. But that's life. I think the younger guys in the league are intimidated by Howie's mind.
All right, let me get to the whole Jets. I know you also interviewed with Tennessee. What was your thought process, your takeaways from giving us that experience of interviewing for the Jet GM job?
So I went in there thinking that what I had heard, that they were looking for an experienced general manager. So I was really interested. I would not have just taken random GM jobs. I really wouldn't. I mean, this is the first year in 3 years that I've interviewed, right? For those I interviewed for the Jets, of course, and Tennessee. But the Jets job was really interesting to me because there were parallels in my mind to what I was able to do and what Mike Smith and I were able to do coming into Atlanta back in the day in 2008. It was coming off the Michael Vick debacle. Honestly, you could argue that the Falcons were in even a worse spot than the Jets were in, and I just thought that that would be possibly a good fit for that from that standpoint, right? Being able to rebuild and resurrect an organization was something that had a lot of interest to me. It didn't work out. I'm really happy for Darren Mugey. I know Darren. I mean, obviously they didn't go with any experience there, right? Both he and Aaron Glenn are first timers in that role. It can be done. Mike Smith and I did it in Atlanta, but the point is, Darren Mugey is coming in there, and I think he's going to work well with that group. I have a great deal of respect for the president, Jaime Elhai, who was a part of all this. And they decided they're going to go with these two guys that have a lot of passion and knowledge for football, so it's going to be interesting to see.
You talked about if you got the Jet job and the rebuild, and they do have a lot of young pieces on that team, like a Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Quinnen Williams. Would you have kept Aaron Rodgers, or would you have said, Aaron, we're getting rid of you?
Well, I've said this around here. I mean, I categorically think Aaron is one of the very best quarterbacks to ever play this game. I think Aaron Rodgers, as where it is now and how things are playing out, it would be best for him to move on from the Jets and go somewhere. I still think, watching him closely in that whole preparation process, I'm like, this cat can still make plays. I know a lot of people want to throw darts at him for other reasons. Mm-hmm. He's making off-camber throws. He's moving around, doing things. And I'm like, this guy can still help a team win. there are, you know, we know there's a there are a dearth of quarterbacks. You're not just pulling them out of the trees, right? I mean, this guy can still play. So I just think goes to a new place, another two years, and helps a young guy come along there. I know he had mentioned that he might want to do that, you know, but the problem is right now, this group of quarterbacks, though they're talented, aren't the same talent as last year's group, right? So there's going to be some growing pains there. I think Shedeur Sanders has a lot of talent, as does Ward. My question to you and anyone else is, who in the heck is the third quarterback in line for that group?
I have gone through this 3,000 times, and also, like, Carson Beck is back at Miami. Now he's transferred to Miami, and I would not use a first-round pick on him. The big story out of the Senior Bowl is Jackson Dart. It could be. I would not use a first-round pick on him. Dylan Gabriel, I would not use a first-round pick on him. Jalen Milroe, I wouldn't use a first-round pick on him. So what I'm saying is there should only be two quarterbacks to go in the first
round.
And
let's see, those two quarterbacks go, let's just say they go in the top five, and then there's that, you know, that wave until the second round.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. Some of those guys, though, they have talent. I mean, you can argue whatever you want about Dylan Gabriel. I mean, small, 5'10 and a half, I think he was. Russell Wilson-ish, right?
Yeah.
Very close. That guy was, he is precise. He's a competitor.
Multiple spots,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's some, I it's going to be interesting to see that. I don't envy the Titans to be in the number one spot trying to figure out what they're doing. And I say the Titans because they could easily move back and say, we're going to build that right side of our offensive line, which, you know, we again, spending some time looking at them, of course, in my interview process, too. You know, where is Levis? Can he take another year and really hopefully develop that line to see what he is? Can he continue to learn and grow? Because what he, you know, he can throw the ball deep. There's just a feeling in the pocket that is vital there. They're going to have to make a decision. Do they trade back and get a lot of trade booty, draft booty, or do they try to pick someone in that top five?
So Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, the two quarterbacks are in play. Trading back is in play. If you got that Tennessee job, what would you have done with the first pick?
Well, I think that's what I would have looked at. I would have scrutinized and analyzed those quarterbacks up and down like I would do all the time. But I would, in my back of my mind, and my background is not trading back a whole bunch, right? My background is Trader Thomas moving forward. That said, this is the one time I was just kind of salivating at the thought of, hey, being in that spot to be able to move back and create this, you know, this great gathering of talent. And take Will Levis one more year and really see where he is. Help him grow. I don't know. What do you do in free agency? It's not easy to go in free agency and to get a quarterback. I've never been a big fan of that, to be honest with you. That's a lot of money invested, usually in an older guy. And I know things worked out well for some of those quarterbacks this year, right? It was great to see.
Yeah.
What are those guys going to get this year? Who's in the market this year? Both I'm trying to think who's in the free agency market beyond...
For quarterbacks?
Yeah, for quarterbacks. I mean...
Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Not dying to go get him.
Right.
Potentially Kirk Cousins.
Potentially.
If he becomes available, which I know that Atlanta, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll keep him as a backup. I don't think Kirk is going to want to be a backup.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold as well.
And Sam Darnold,
but
of course.
If I'm Tennessee, I'm not going after any of those guys, unless if it's a one-year stopgap. Yeah. But I'd rather just see Levis another year, even though I don't think Levis is the answer.
I would rather see him, yeah. I agree with you. I think Will Levis, I still... Unless he turns the corner, to me it's the inside. It's inside the pocket presence. Not that he can't do it. I mean, we see him. He's doing mayo commercials, doing splits. I mean, I'm like, this guy can. If that's truly what, maybe it was fake. But who knows?
Was there an edict when you talked to the Jets and the conversations came up about Aaron Rodgers? This idea that Woody Johnson and Aaron don't see eye to eye, and I know Aaron Glenn supposedly wants Aaron back. Was Woody maybe at all pushing that Aaron would not be back on the team in the interview process?
No, without getting a ton of detail about that, no, not at all. I think he was really, I'm sure, and knowing his approach to this, he really wanted to hear the interview people talking about what they would truly do, and he didn't want to influence in any way, I'm sure, of what that response would be. So I would be really interested to sit in there. If I could be Rick Spielman and Mike Tannenbaum to say, listening to the different approaches, how many of those people said, no, keep him another year, right? We'll draft someone potentially and help them learn. I don't know if there were many of those. That's just my hypothetically.
When you gave your answer, though, when you were talking to them, did you kind of sense, they liked the answer, or was it, they definitely don't want this guy back? If you were maybe thinking about getting rid of him.
You know, it's a really interesting thought. I was trying to gauge that, and I couldn't really gauge it. But what I would say is, in my mind, if I were to be a president or someone over top of that, I would want that person to come in and be very stout about what they believe in. That would make it a lot easier than hem-hawing around about it, right? Like, kind of, sort of, kind of. I wouldn't want that, right? I want that guy that's coming in who's going to believe in it, and whether we agree or not that they're going to move forward on. I think that's a big thing when you're interviewing a general manager.
I know Sumer Sports is the best. What do you got cooking with that?
You know, we're just working hard. We just keep growing all the time. We started at three years ago, three of us, myself, Paul Tudor Jones, and his son. We have 40-plus data scientists and engineers now. We have five former general managers. We have about 25 NFL people in there. All of our subjective work that we're doing with all of our scouts is a very important part of the foundation of building our algorithms and all of our models. We fold in a lot of the data analytics and we create some really cool stuff. Our B2B business, NFL, but we're doing a lot of work in NCAA as well, right? And portal and NIL work, which, as we all know, that's a fascinating part of where sport is right now.
And who are you picking to win the game, by the way?
You know, my response is supposed to be that the AI brain, we call it, our Sumer brain, is suggesting that Philly has the nudge and the edge on the data side of it all and the statistical side. But because of the X factor that the quarterback, you know, and Patrick Mahomes is going to be a difference maker. But like I said, Howie's got a long memory and he hears it sometimes, so I'm not going to make a call on it. I think it's going to be a really close three-point game.
Thomas Dimitroff, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Always.
That's Thomas Dimitroff from Sumer Sports. This is Zach Gelb Show live here on Radio Row in New Orleans. Let's do this. We'll take a timeout right now. When we come on back, former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf is going to stop by. We'll talk about some of those quarterback draft prospects and also the game coming up on Sunday, the Super Bowl between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes going up against, obviously, Jalen Hurts. I feel like from the marketing standpoint, it's really Mahomes and Saquon are the two guys, and then who's the next person you're going to talk about the most? Even if he's not still as great as he once was, we still know how good of a football player he is and usually shows up for these postseason games. You obviously always have the Travis Kelce connection, not only with just the great player Travis Kelce is, but also who he's dating with Taylor Swift. So 15 minutes past the hour, Zach Gelb here with you live on Radio Row, day number one from the New Orleans Convention Center. Ryan Leaf joins us next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.